made a promise to do that this morning, to let the one out the Lord have his way. Let the musician have his seat. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Good to be back with you. It's good to get away and just rest and take in some good sermons. But it's good to be back again. So appreciate Brother Daniel taking the service while we were gone. It was good service, good sermon. I would listen to it and enjoyed it. He said a lot of good things in there. Good for anybody, young or old. Amen. And so really appreciate that. And it's nice having someone that you can turn things over to while you're gone, and you know that they're going to feed the sheep something good. You know? And so I'm sure there's many small churches across the land maybe that don't have that luxury that we do. And so we really appreciate that. It's just really good to be back with you. We'll go ahead and open our Bibles to St. John chapter 10. And while you do, I'll make a couple announcements here. I want to remember Brother Ben Beard's meetings coming up here on September 25th through 28th. I know that we had announced that a time or two. Also, Brother Prater's having special meetings coming up in October, the 10th through the 12th. He asked if we would let him know if anybody plans on attending. So you can let him know, or if you'll let me know, I will let him know. That's October 10th through 12th. I don't know who will be ministering there, but anyway, we will be mindful of that. Also, this next Saturday night is our Bible study night. I know we didn't have Bible study last month. Brother Daniel was gone on vacation there, so we just didn't even try to have it. This next Saturday night, the 13th, would be a Bible study night. If you cannot make it, then just please let me know. Maybe let me know by Friday evening. Amen. All right. Also, I want you to remember several families are out this morning. I know the Wheeler family has been sick. The Williams family has been sick. Sister Anna's still, I don't know if she still has fever this morning or not. Remember her. Sister Mary also is sick, and her family. And Brother Ben, not feeling well. Brother Ben apparently mistakenly picked up Anna's drink and drank out of it a couple of days ago, and so he wasn't feeling good this morning. And so I know there's also COVID going around a little bit in different places. I've been hearing that, and so we want to remember those prayer requests as we pray in just a little bit. I know that anyone feeling bad would really appreciate those prayers. St. John chapter 10, verse 22 through 38, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a promise.
Amen.
Amen. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Right.
I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said to your gods? And if he called them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, or word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him.
Amen.
And then St. John chapter 13, verse 20, just one more verse. But Jesus speaking again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So we are honest to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just tell you this morning, Lord, that we love you, and it's good to be in your house, be here with your people. Lord, to be underneath the covenant where there is shed blood, and Lord, the shed blood of an innocent one. Lord, we don't take it lightly this morning where we stand in this position, Lord, and we want to fulfill our purpose well, each one of us, Lord. And so we ask God this morning that you speak to us out of your word. You are the special guest here today. We make it so by our faith, Lord. We open up the doors, make a special place for you in this service this morning by letting your word be the thing that has preeminence. Lord, we want to ask that you would touch those that are sick and that are missing today, that you would go to each one now in their homes. Lord, as the great omnipotent one who can go and be in all these places, Lord, that you can touch every life. We ask, God, that you bring your healing hands to them. Lord, that you rebuke any virus, bacteria, sickness, whatever it is. We ask, God, that you just rebuke it. Send it back upon the one that it belongs to. Lord, especially this COVID that's still going around. Lord, we love you. We know you're the healer. You're the only healer. Lord, the great one among us. And so, Lord, we just give this task to you, knowing that you've never failed. We again ask this morning for your blessings on this service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
Glad to hear that. I know you do. Amen. Brother Daniel summed it up pretty good a while ago. We're often in battles. Sometimes you feel kind of beat down, but we're still believers. We're still in the army of God.
Right.
Amen. And so, been speaking to you about the third Exodus. I haven't titled it that, different titles or whatever, the whole theme, and I'm still there because the Lord hasn't moved me off of it yet. And so, we went to those meetings last weekend, and as a minister, you know, you think about wonder what the Lord is speaking to other people and different things. And we went there, and the mindset that God has us in a third Exodus, and he's taken us out of the things that held us in bondage, and he's taken us to this promised land, and we have a position there that's been given to us from the Lord from before the foundation of the world. And so we went to those meetings last week, and Brother Jonathan Jones had spoke there to us and encouraging us and saying, telling us, you know, that we have, as the bride of Christ, we have a position. We have word to fulfill in this hour that belongs to us. And there will be a bride that does that. I happen to believe that we're part of that.
Yeah.
Amen. And you wouldn't want me to stand up and tell you we weren't, right?
No.
I wouldn't lie to you. But I believe that by being partakers of this message, we are that people. And so Brother Jonathan preached on that, on encouraging us that we have a position and a purpose. And then the next day, Brother Tim Barnes preached on the armies of the living God. And you know, as we go into the promised land, we're having to displace enemies that's trying to keep us from having that. And so to them, we are the armies of the living God. You may not feel that way. A lot of days you may not consider yourself as a great army.
Yeah.
But if you believe God's words, you're the worst thing for Satan and his bunch. They fear that. You know, the scripture said that if you believe in one God, you do well, because the devils believe also and tremble.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm glad that I believe that. Because
yeah.
I want to believe the things, and I want to act out the things that makes the devils tremble.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. And so then the next day, Brother Forrest Farmer preached, and he preached on taking your position. And so it really, you know, it helps me to know that the other ministers out there, that it's on their heart. And I spoke to Brother Forrest there after service and told him what I'd been ministering on. And he said, I really believe it's time for God's people to take that land, take that promises,
and right.
begin to possess
right.
them.
Yes.
And so that was encouraging to me. Not that I would have necessarily needed that, but you know, when the Lord does things, it encourages you. And so, and by the way, Brother Daniel, Brother Sam sends his greetings back to you, says God bless you and your family. Amen.
Amen.
And so I really appreciate that, brother. So as we get going into this this morning. You know, there's things, there's a lot of things we need to watch, but just some things that we need to watch for. You know, the prophet told us that we don't need to be, a lot of people, he said, will be looking at what God did do, what God's going to do, missing what he's doing.
Right.
And so we want to watch that. We want to make sure we're not doing that. Because it is nature, it's human nature to point back to things that we have experienced and we have seen in good old days. People always want to go back to the good old days, but they don't want to return to the good old gospel. And so, and people will talk about what God's going to do, but my Bible tells me he is the I am. He is present.
Right.
And it means very little to us if the God we serve is not here now, present, every day with us. And right. So we want to pay attention so that we don't miss what God is doing right now. Because I can assure you that Satan's working very hard with all kinds of things just to try and get you to miss what God is doing in your presence, in your day, in your church, in your life, in your family. Amen?
Right.
If you listen to him, he'll always have you look on the bad things. Remember the scripture said, whatsoever things are pure, what things are good report, and so forth, think on these things.
Right.
But I can guarantee you, and if you could probably raise your hand and agree with this, that Satan is constantly trying to get you to think on the things that are not those things, right? And so we know that. But anyway, we want to know and catch what God is doing now, and we also don't want to let the Word of God become common to us.
Right.
So the Scripture warns us of these things, and I know we would apply this to the people of unbelievers and so forth, where Peter is talking about where they would say, well, you know, we've heard the coming of the Lord even since our fathers fell asleep. We've heard this all this time and it ain't happened, right? And if you're not careful, we can say, you know, we've been sitting here in this message believing God's going to change our bodies. We've been believing it for 30-something, 40-something, 50-something yeah. years. And if you're not careful, you'll start doubting,
yeah.
right?
Right.
But the Scripture tells us God is not slack concerning his promises.
Right.
He is
right.
not slack concerning the things he says he's going to do.
Right.
And so, in his time, right, in his time, he will perform these things.
Right.
And when his time comes around, if we're lacking the anointing we need at that for that, he will supply that at that time. If you're in his body, if
right.
you're believers, you don't have to worry about rapture coming. If you're believers and that life is in you, when the time comes, you'll have what you need.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
We know that. So we want to not let the Word of God become common to us. Stay focused. You know, the Scripture says to stay awake, be sober.
Right.
Amen. And so I want to ask some questions this morning and just for the illustration of what I want to share today as we go into this, and we'll title this a new message. So how many of you would love it if God would come down personally, just come right down in person, right where you can see him, and come right along and just say, you're my child, and I'm here to bless you. I'm here to take you by the hand, and I'm here to lead you to your promised land. I'm here to guarantee, I'm going to personally walk you from where you are right now and take you to your promise. How many would like that? Well, I don't know anybody that wouldn't want that. Would you like that? Sure, we would all like that, right? And so, I think everybody would. So, but what if God did not come down in person and do that, but what if he sent someone else in his stead? Right? We just said we'd all like that if God would come down. We could receive God like that, right? But what if he didn't come in person? What if he said, I'm going to send someone else in my stead, but I'm going to give that person a supernatural ministry with gifted signs, gifts of supernatural, so that you'll know that I sent him. In other words, it's not going to be me, so to speak, but it's going to be someone representing me, and I'm going to gift that man in such a way that he's going to do things that only I could do, And that way you're going to know that's me coming.
Yep.
And he's going to come and he's going to tell you the same thing. I've come down. You're my child. I'm going to take you through. I'm here to make sure you make it over.
Yep.
Right? Could you receive him like that?
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
That he would send someone else who would have a ministry that could do that.
Right.
Amen? So I'm glad to hear you say that you would. So, but what if that one that he sent with supernatural ministry, what if he came and he would tell you that same message, I'm here to take you, but he wouldn't say it in such a way that where anybody could that heard it would understand it, but he'd say it in a way that only you understood it.
That's right. Personal
right? Could you receive God like that?
Mm-hmm.
Could you hang your life on it?
Yes.
Amen. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. And so, I'm glad I'm hearing the responses that I am. See, according to the Word of God, you have to receive it that way.
Right.
Because God don't come down like that first example that I told you.
That's right.
All right? He has sent someone else, right?
That's right.
But if you'll notice in Jesus' ministry, you know, we read there so many times that they would ask him questions, that they would want point-blank answers. But he wouldn't give them point-blank answers. He would answer it in parables and in different scenarios. Like there, he said, tell us plainly.
Yeah.
Well, he said, I already have. I told you. But he never told them plainly. He told them in parables and in different stories and things like that.
Right.
And so you understand that the only way that you can get anywhere with God is by faith, by revelation, where, as we talk about so much of the time, that flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father, and it's on that rock, the rock of revelation, that gates of hell cannot prevail against. So the whole concept, to get anywhere with God, to be born again, to be healed, to receive a body change, it is a revelation wherein God has spoke to you. Others heard the same sermons. Others read the same Bible. Others read the same books. They had different experiences like you did. But for some reason, you hear your voice. You hear the voice speaking to you. You hear it, and you know it's to you.
Right.
And so that's the way it will be. And I believe rapture would be that way. Amen?
Amen.
By revelation. Because the prophet said the rapture is a revelation.
Right.
And so we know that. But according to the scriptures, you have to receive it by that third way, wherein that God would send a supernatural ministry, but it was preached in such a way that you could catch it and others might not.
Right.
That's offensive to people. And I know that if I felt like I was outside of the circle of God's blessing, I'd be offended too. But you see, I don't. I see myself inside this circle of God's blessings. And so I'm not offended. And Jesus said, speaking of the end time, and speaking of how that when John came as a forerunner, and that we see that repeating now, Jesus said, blessed is he who's not offended to me.
Yep.
He said, in that day, many shall be offended. What are they going to be offended about?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be offended about the Word of God, how it comes to pass, who it's to, and who it's not to.
Right?
Right? They want to shame us for believing that we are part and that other people may not be in it. Right? They want to shame us for that. I can't help it. I'm just the messenger. Right? I didn't write it. I'm just delivering it. So if they have a problem with that, let them go talk to God about it.
Right.
But Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 20, we read it there just a minute ago, that if he sends someone and you receive that one, you are receiving him.
That's right.
Because he sent him. He also said, if you receive me, you receive the one that sent me.
Yep, right.
So the whole thing is how all this unfolded, is how God was coming down to get to us, to help us. He would come down in a man with a supernatural ministry. And if you'll receive him, then you're receiving the one that sent him. And then Jesus, being that one, he said, now I'm going to send people. And anybody that will receive that person I send, then they're going to receive me. And if you do that, you're receiving him. So you get a pathway all the way back to God.
Amen.
Right? by accepting the way God has come down and how he's worked it.
Christ provided.
Right?
Amen.
See? But what's in there? Man.
Yep.
Right? So it's the hardest thing in the world to believe that God is dwelling in the lives of people. You might find it hard to believe that God would be speaking through me to you right now. Right? Or Brother Daniel, if he was here. You might, Satan would certainly want you to think that.
Absolutely.
Right? Because you see the badger skins.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
I don't ever want to go out and capture a badger. If you've seen any videos, well, those things are ferocious.
That's right.
But, you know, you can see the typology there.
Right.
So Jesus said, hey, you know, if you receive the one I send, you receive me and the him that sent me. But here's what the prophet says, and the spoken word is the original seed. You know, there are, all the messages are good, but there are some messages that are very pivotal.
Right.
Some of them are 6-hour messages, you know. But spoken word is the original seed is one of those. And Brother Branham is speaking here about this. He said, Jesus, he that receives them that I send receives me, and them that receive me receive him that sent me. Here's what Brother Ram is saying. Catch this. You can only serve God as you do and believe the servants that God sends. You can only serve God, he says, as you do and believe. Sometimes you know how he says things. And believe the servants that God sends.
That's right.
You mean you can't believe and get to God outside of that somehow? Think about it. You can only do that through the servants that God sends. You can only serve God on earth, see, as God's servants that he sends on earth, but divine interpretation interprets the word to you. See, we're in this age where everybody thinks they can be their own interpreter. But God didn't set it up that way, right? And so he's telling you, God sends certain gifted men that will interpret the word. He's speaking of prophets, right? He's a divine interpreter of the word. Will interpret the word to you. And that, by getting on board with that, is how you can serve God in your day.
Right?
Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He that heareth you receiveth me. Excuse me. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despises him that sent me. So it goes both ways.
Right.
For a blessing and a curse. Brother Graham said, I was quoting Brother Graham there when I read that. He said, that proves that God speaks his message to his servants. He always has. And that's right.
Yeah.
And now the power, listen to this, the power of the believing church. Christ has all power in heaven and earth. Do you believe that?
Yes, amen.
That's what prophet says.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then what if he's in you?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What if he's in you?
Amen.
He has all power in heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. So we need to remember that in spoken word is original seed, talking about seed. Seed right. comes through the body. Right?
Right.
I know you've heard these things and maybe had to be reminded from time to time. I had to be reminded, but seed comes through the body. We know Christ is the head, the church is the body.
Right.
And multiplying comes, but seed comes through the body.
Right.
We know the story about how that Philip, the angel, you know, he spoke and went out into the desert and he met with a eunuch. And Philip speaks to the eunuch and baptizes him, and he takes it back to Ethiopia. And the prophet speaking about that said, why didn't the angel have to send Philip out there to do it? Why couldn't the angel just go out to the eunuch, let the angel do it? Right? Because seed comes through the body.
That's right.
Not through the angel. It comes through the body.
Amen.
And Philip was part of the body. Right. And so the dynamics and the ability to have births in the church and for people's lives to become to born-again experiences, it comes through the body. It comes
right.
through living and ministry and people speaking and living and living the Word of God. That's how it happens for people to come in. It'll come
right.
some other way.
Yep.
There's no angel in heaven that can come to you and give to you a new birth, right?
Right.
has to come through the preaching of the gospel and through men who are called with a ministry to share these things. That's how it comes.
Yes.
Amen. And so the scripture tells us the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the shoulders is part of the body.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
So the prophet speaks about that. Again, in spoken word as the original seed, he said, saints shall judge the earth. Where is the government going to be upon? Upon the shoulders, his body. The government upon his shoulders, that's part of the body. What is it, the prophet said? What is it? When we're talking about this being upon the body and life and seed passing through the body, he says, what is it? It is his earthly strength. Think about it. God's earthly strength is his word made flesh in his body here on earth, bringing it to pass. That's his earthly strength, right? Through us, through his people. I say us, humbly believing that we are part of his body. Amen. So life comes through the body. So in speaking of this Israel in this third Exodus, Israel was God's people. But circumstances had got to the place where, you know, they were in bondage. They were in slavery there in Egypt. And so the circumstances, time and circumstances had got to the place where they were beat down. They were in slavery. They weren't going to be set free if somebody didn't come set them free. And they had grown accustomed to slavery, right? I think the song, Brother Tim, you know, if they wanted to be free, you got to want it. We got to want it bad enough, right, that you're willing to long for it and do something about it. And I think that about in our own lives. If we really want to live with God in our lives, show it. Do something to show God that you really want that, right? Seeking after the Lord. And so I'm pretty sure that if you're really desperate for God, that we wouldn't spend our time with frivolous things like we do sometimes. If we really are in need of the Lord, that's what's on your mind, and you're seeking him day and night for that. Amen? And so they had gotten into circumstances, and they'd grown accustomed to the slavery. We know that because later on, they wanted to go back to it. They thought, well, it'd be better if we were back there than being out here where we have to have faith and to follow what Moses is saying. And that slavery condition, Pharaoh had got to the place where he was more like God to them God was. Because Pharaoh would make a decision, a law, then they had to bear the weight of it on them, see? And so, but nevertheless, they were still God's people. And God is not slack concerning his promise, which he gives. And so, the time drew nigh when God was going to come down and set his people free. He was going to come down and fulfill his word, set them free, and take them to the promised land. And we know the scriptures, you've heard it many times in the past, where he said, God came to Moses, Moses, I've come down, I'm coming to go take my people, I've come down, and now I'm sending you. God went and delivered children of Israel out of Egypt through a man, with a supernatural ministry, right? Can we receive a God like that? Not the one that came down. In essence, God had come down. He was there because Moses couldn't do those things without God be with him. Right? Even Jesus had said, hey, we know you come from God because nobody can do these things unless God's with him. Well, that should have settled it.
Yeah. Right.
But yet they wanted to question it. Mm-hmm. People are weird. They're weird. Mm-hmm. Like when God does a supernatural thing there and it's his word, then you still want to fuss and fight with it and question it. That's the nature of people. And so they were still God's people, and he comes down, he says, I've come, and I'm sending you, Moses. And Moses, I know that when I get there, they're probably not going to believe you. They should believe your testimony, but I know they probably won't. And so I'm going to give you two signs. I'm going to give you signs so that to help them believe you, the messenger I have sent.
Right.
Right? Because without it, they're probably not going to believe you. But I'm going to give them those supernatural signs because I have come down here through you And you're going to come there and you're going to take them out. And so I give you these two signs. So what were the children of Israel supposed to do? They were supposed to believe him. They were supposed to believe those signs. Right? Is this Bible? Is this the way God was operating? It is. And so they were to believe those things. And so to believe the signs, if they can't believe Moses, just believe the signs. And also then to know that the message that Moses was bringing was a scriptural message. Now, I know scriptures wasn't written back then like that. Maybe scrolls were at that time. But it was scriptural in the fact, we say it that way, that God had already promised Abraham, your seed will sojourn in a strange land. They will evil entreat you, but I will come. I will set you free with a mighty hand. I'll come and deliver. And so when Moses came, that was his message. And they didn't believe it. And so God gave some signs there where he had the judgment rod, you know?
Yeah.
That serpent there, which was a judgment rod. When God would get ready to do another thing, Moses would hold that stick out there and the water would turn to blood, or you understand, or that judgment rod would eat up the serpents, right? Eat up the other snakes.
Yep.
We know that. And the divine healing was one of them. Leprosy, pulling, can come back healed. So that was another one, right?
Right.
And so those signs were there. What was this? This was part of the Exodus. This was part of how God was going to get attention to the people and was going to get them to get on board with what he was doing, was through a man with a ministry and supernatural signs. So, and if you couldn't believe the messenger by himself, then believe the signs. Okay? The signs show that it comes from God. And so, you know, when that's going on like that and you understand God's program, how can people ignore that? Even in our day, I've seen it. Encyclopedia of Charismatic Movements in different books. And they all testify of the things that God had done in this day, how supernatural it was, above and beyond anything else. Their voices will ring out against them on that day for rejecting what a supernatural ministry had said and done. So Jesus had to say the same things there. In the scriptures we read there in verse 37 and 38, he says, If I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. So a man can come along and say whatever, they can claim whatever, but unless they're doing what the scripture said would come, then don't believe it. Right? So, verse 37, he says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But verse 38, but if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So Jesus is telling there, look, if I'm not doing what the scripture said was coming, then don't worry about it. But if I am, even if you can't believe my own testimony, at least believe what you see happening, because the scripture said this was going to happen. And then when you believe that, then maybe come back and believe my testimony, because the works testify that I'm really here and I'm sent of God and I'm doing the things. And he goes on to say that it's proof to you that I am in God and God is in me. He basically, in essence, he's saying, it is proof to you that God has come down and I am the manifestation of the word for this day coming to pass.
Right.
I am that manifestation, right? That I am in him and he's in me. Amen?
Right.
Because that was the whole program, how it was God was going to come down. He was a hidden Christ and he's going to reveal himself hidden, and he's going to reveal himself in Christ. And so that's why Jesus had to say these things. You got to believe that he's in me and I'm in him.
Right.
You got to believe that. That the Spirit of God was in Christ. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, but it's my Father that dwells in me. That God was in him, which placed him in the body that God was expressing through. It's the same thing with us. Right? Us being, Christ being in us, places us in his body. Right?
Right.
So, the prophet tells us in reading that, there he says, and in that day, that's this day, Jesus saying, in that day, you'll know. Now, he has said, I'm in the Father, Father's in me. Right? But then Jesus goes on and says, later, he says, and in that day, speaking of this end time day, you'll know that I'm in you, and you're in me, and I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. So what is he showing here? That this process of God coming down, taking a momentary stop in Christ, being the expression of God, that then that moves on, and now God comes into his people who are the next expression of the same God as he has come down. And so Jesus is saying, in that day, you're going to know this. You're going to understand what Jesus is trying to tell them, how that God was in him. In that day, you're going to know God's in you. And you're in him. Right? I was hearing some of the brothers last weekend, they speak, somebody, some minister, some are preaching a sermon. How long is it going to take till you realize that you're God? In the right way. Understand, in the right way. How long? Because that's what that... It used to be, well, God sent a prophet. Then it moved to, hey, what did he say? And now it's come to the place where for us to, do you know who you are? Right? Do you know who you are? And if you do, start taking possession of that position that God has given you. So when Jesus said, in that day, you'll know. And Brother Branham, in Christ is the Mystery of God, he's quoting, he says, Jesus said it that day, and he said, that's this day. Brother Ram said, that's this day. And Jesus said, in that day, at that day, Brother Ram says, when this revelation is made known. So he's telling us, what day is Jesus speaking of there? Jesus is speaking of the day when this end time revelation is made known, and an hour when you know that you're in God and God's in you, or you're in Christ and Christ in you. See, this was not a revelation that the church knew all along. But in the end time, in that day, you shall know these things. And Brother Ram said, that's this day when this revelation, how Christ was God was in Christ and then he's in his church. When that is revealed in that day, that's the day we're talking about, that you'll know these things. And you'll know at that time, you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Amen. Let me just say it this way, the way that I see this is that in a way that Luther didn't have, Wesley didn't have, Pentecost didn't have, even early church didn't have it in this full fashion we're talking about. Amen. So, some of those people there couldn't believe Jesus speaking of it, that they couldn't believe. Because, we read it, because they're not of his sheep. So now, we are to believe, we're not to believe, excuse me, we're not to believe the signs only. But we are to pay attention to the voice behind the sign. That's why the prophet preached this, the voice behind the sign. If you'll open scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 and through 3. We know how the scriptures, don't read it yet. Scripture said, hey, if I send a prophet and what he says comes to pass, believe him. Fear that, right?
Right.
But now look at this one. If there rise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he giveth a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass,
yep.
Right?
Right?
Wherever he's spaking and he's saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul above and beyond signs, wonders, and miracles. That's me saying that part.
Yeah.
Right? So apparently, God said, hey, I'm going to let this happen. I've told you, you got to watch the sign, but it's got to be a voice behind that sign, and it has to be a scriptural voice. But I'm going to test you to see if you really love me, the Word, by letting some guy come up, and he's going to have supernatural signs, but he's actually, the voice behind his sign, the message he's going to be preaching, is going to lead you away from me. I'm going to let that happen to test you to see whether or not you really love me, the Word.
Right?
Now, God did that back there in the Old Testament. What do you think he's going to do here? Back there, when they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. It's going to be, to me, it's going to be magnified up here.
Yeah.
Right? That God is going to let all kinds of things happen in your life. You're like, what in the world is this?
Yeah.
Right? What's this? To test you to see if he, the person, because you have to understand, he is his Word, the person of the Word.
Right?
Right? Going to test you to see if you really love him. You know, we say a man is only as good as his word, right? That's right. When a man says something, he should do it. And if he can't do it, he should come back and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to do this. Or if it's past tense, he should say, here's why I couldn't. I'm sorry. I'll make it up. I'll do it. He should make it right, right? Because man is limited. Man is limited.
Right.
But man is made in the image of God. And so man should act like God. And so you should do. You should keep your word, right? But we fail sometimes, so we got to come back. But God don't fail, right? So he keeps his word. Amen. And so he wants to test us to see, hey, because when you have his word, you have him. Right?
Right.
You know, it should be, even in man. If I give you my word, hey, I'm going to do this, then that's, in essence, as good as me being there, right? But I can fail. But God can't. So when God gives his word, if you have that word, you have him. So he can say, I want to see if you really love me. If you really love me, you'll keep my commandments. Right? If a wife really loves her husband, she won't serve him sour cream for supper. Right? Right? Or in my case, it won't be Spam, Bronzewager, Liver Loaf, Pickle Loaf. Right? Brother Daniel agrees with me on those, right?
Uh-huh.
But you understand?
Right.
If you love me, you'll keep my word, right? And it's if your heart's just so gripped with the one you're in love with, well, that's your whole life. And so Satan comes along in this Eden. Satan's Eden we're in is to cause us to lose that first love and all those different things. We've got to fight to get back to that. Satan's trying to get you to divorce Christ. Right?
Right.
Amen. But that's not something in God's economy.
Right.
Right? It's a treacherous thing, the scripture tells us, naturally, and it certainly would be spiritually. So he's got to let those things come to test you to see whether or not you really love the Lord. And so we are to believe God no matter what. So the word is more important than signs and wonders. And yet God sends signs and wonders to catch people's attention, to get them to listen to the voice. So if they can't just, maybe in all the things that Satan got, all these lies and all these religions, and God comes along and he tries to tell you the truth, and it's not getting through, so he sends a supernatural ministry, and you're like, whoa! Maybe we should listen to what the man says.
Right?
Because nobody did these things. They said that about Jesus. We know that you're a man sent from God because nobody's done this before. Right?
Right.
Amen. So we are to believe. But if we have to, then look at the signs and let that shake you into looking at the voice behind the sign, so that you can see those things. I told you the story about my brother and the thunder. I didn't see no flash of nothing. There wasn't a lightning, but it was just a loud clap of thunder. I don't know. It was like it was right on top of us. And I was speaking to one of the brothers last week there. And it was Brother Tim Barnes, and I guess I had shared that when he was here. And he told me, he said, Brother Tony, he said, that really... done something for him to hear that testimony. He said, because I'd never thought about this. I never thought about what would I do if a supernatural something happened, but it was contrary to the word. You know, he said, and I'm just telling you what he said. He said, the Lord must have trusted you for you to let you have that experience. And I said, brother, if it hadn't been for the message, it would have done me like everything else, right? By the grace of God, it wasn't even a struggle. By the grace of God, I mean, it was there. And that's why I'm saying you got to believe that it's laying there, what God has done and telling you in this message. It's laying there. When you need it, it's going to be there.
Right.
And so there was a time, and I was raised in a church that if somebody could do something like that, the whole church would have jumped up and fell on their knees and began to worship, right? Even though it was contrary to scriptures, right? And so, by the grace of God, it didn't even bother me. I was like, wow, that would have been Pentecostal quake for sure. And he said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, we're taught not to chase after signs and wonders. Right? And so I guess the only reason why that happened is so I can tell you. And I'll meet you on the day of judgment. You'll find out this is right. What I'm telling you. It's not stretched. It's just as simple as I. And so, and it makes nothing out of me, but that I can tell you that we live in a day where God's word is it. I don't care what else happens, what kind of signs, wonders, whatever. It's his word, and if the sign or the wonder points to the word, amen. If it doesn't, get away from it. See, God gave the sign or wonder so you would turn to the word.
Right?
But if the sign and the wonder is not pointing to the word, it's false. It may be a supernatural, maybe something, but it's the message behind it is false.
Right.
Amen. So we are to believe his word no matter what. Amen. And you know, it's only inherent nature. People seek after signs more than the word. Now, we are talking about just normal humanity, even us and ourselves. But the life that God has put in us is to lift us up above our limitations as man so that these things don't faze us. But in our natural thing, to see supernatural things, and then without God, without a love for his word, then we would hook, line, sinker, just believe whatever. Right? And everybody had carnal impersonations. I was raised up in it. I was in a service one time, and the person said, yeah, sometime in the service, said, my hand goes numb. And the preacher said, next time that happens, I don't care what's going on, next time that happens, you jump up and you start laying hands on everybody in the building because your hand's going numb. Huh? Regardless of who the person is or what their life is or what the, but see, if there's a sign, there's a voice behind that sign. Even false signs. See what I'm saying? It's the message. So we live in this hour where these things can happen. And maybe you might say, well, I haven't really seen. Just wait a while, see? Because the stakes are high and we're headed to a rapture, right? And Satan's not going to let this thing go without trying to do anything he can to upset it, right? And so we must and will be tested to a place to have to reject no matter what it is we see if it's contrary to the word. We'll have to. Amen. And so people have this inherent nature where they want to seek after signs and wonders. They like the things that nurture the flesh. We can see this in the scriptures in St. John chapter 6, where Jesus has fed the multitudes with the fishes and the loaves and so forth, and he crosses over, and that's not when his disciples cross over, and he's not with them in the boat, and he goes walking on the water that night, and scripture said that all these people followed him in boats, and they got to the other side, and they found him over there, and they knew that he had not gone in the boat with his disciples. So they get there and they're like, Master, how did you get here? Right? How many remembers that in the story? How did you get here? His response is, you're seeking me because of the fishes and the loaves. You're seeking me because you like what I do in the flesh, in the natural, to sustain you. You like the miracles. You like seeing the fishes and the loaves and all that. But I've been sharing some word with you and you're rejecting that. Right? Because this is where he said, you're seeking me because of the fishes and the loaves, but labor not for the meat which perishes, right? Which you eat and it goes out into the draught. Labor not for that, but labor for that meat which will endure to everlasting life. Right? That's the thing to labor after. So people love supernatural things. They love the fishes and the loaves. They love everything that would support this life. But when it comes to that life,
right,
they reject it because Jesus could say a lot of things and they were seeking after all, whatever. But the thing they should have held on to more than anything else was the word that he was given. And that word that he was given, it was getting to the place where it got really tough for all of them because he said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoa. We like the fishes and the loaves, and we like the miracles, and we like the ministry, and all the big meetings and all that. But I don't know about what you're saying there. Right? Remember, God's sheep knows his voice. Well, I don't know about that. St. John chapter 6. And many of those people who were sign seekers, many of those people who had been blessed by supernatural ministry of the Lord Jesus, had ate the fishes and the loaves, had followed him for a while, were pursuing him, turned and walked away from him and didn't follow him anymore. Because of the word. That's what they did. Amen. And, of course, we know the scripture there, St. John chapter 6, verse 66, where they followed him no more. Because that's the effect of what this mark does to you, mark of unbelief. It makes people, even though they... And so what I'm trying to get at is that people who take the mark are people who were sign seekers. People who wasn't people who just absolutely denied God, but if people who are religious, but when it comes right down to the very word that they need for their hour, they reject it. Amen. Very word they need for their hour, they reject it. And so, labor not for the meat which perishes. So if that happened in Moses' day, in Jesus' day, what about our day? Amen. Our day. In our day where God would come down in a man with supernatural signs to get our attention, to declare to us, you're his people, you're his bride, you're sinless, you're virtuous. There is no way that you can go to hell. Right? Because you're eternal. And hell's not eternal. If hell was eternal, then an eternal person could be there, right? But hell is not eternal, so there's no way an eternal person could go and be in a place that's not eternal throughout eternity. See, these truths matter. These things that have been brought to us, they matter. So we understand who we are in God.
That's right.
And so we appreciate those things. So God would come down and share these things and speak to his bride. But he'd speak to her in parables. And you know, the message has lingo or whatever, phrases and stuff. It's the world. They don't know what you're talking about when you say third pool. Right? But if you're in it, you understand, right? And so in essence, the message is speaking to the world in parables, but to us, we understand.
Right.
And it's not just the fact that we've intellectually sat and listened, but it's because there's something else that's going on inside us.
Right.
God taking us by the hand, leading us out of bondage, out of all this denominational nonsense, into liberty and into a life of overcoming power, taking us to our promised land, which ends up is a body change.
Amen.
Amen. So God has done the same thing. I ask you, could you receive God that would come down and speak through a man, but speak it in a way that only you could hear it and understand it? And you said yes.
Yes. Amen.
And that's what this message is.
That's right.
So it's Bible. What we're believing is exactly what God did, has done throughout different times through the scriptures. Amen. I've illustrated in the past, if you had some of your people over in the enemy lines in a war like that, and somehow you could get special information to them to tell them to get a certain place, and without the enemy knowing it, then you could come in there and pick them up. So God has sent his word to get us into the right condition, the right, so that he can catch us out of here. And everybody else is like, what happened to those boys? That bunch of people that read all that nonsense, according to them. Right? According to them. Amen. And so he sent that word. And the prophet tells us in this day, as we said a while ago, he said the rapture to the bride is a revelation. And it is. It's revelation. See, do you believe that he's changing you? Right? He's changing you. I'm not what I used to be. You're not what you used to be. How'd you get here? You couldn't have got here if you wanted to, and no man could have got you here. You'd have told him, get lost. See? But from glory to glory, he's changing you.
Yes,
amen. See?
Right.
And you believe that. Right? You believe that it's not just, you're not just all worked up and just pretending. You believe that God has got a hold of your life and is changing you from one glory to another, from one experience to another, that you're greater and higher in Christ today than you were 10 or 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
You believe that.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that's true. That's right. And it's that same process that'll change your body. You don't have to understand it. I don't understand how these things. I don't understand how God can heal somebody that all of a sudden they just, something moves over them and they have no more pains, and it's years later they still don't have no pain. I don't know. That's just in the character of God. He can do those things.
Right.
But do you believe it?
Amen.
I don't. I can tell you, I'm convinced of this. Like that came over me and healed my back, and I've had other healings before too. But it's just as easy for God to have swept over me that night and gave me a new body totally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Just like that.
Right.
See, God will do and is doing what he said he would do. But we got to stay with his program.
Right.
Amen. And so you have to believe and know that he's changing you, yes, and eventually change you into a body change. So he's come down and he's here and he's taking us out of all these things that held us back and limited us. We believe the wrong thing because it was taught and influenced, and we live in a world that's wrong. But he's come down and he's changing us. How's he changing you? Well, he's not physically coming down and taking you by the hand, but he's come down and by taking you by the hand, as it were, and he's leading you to that promised land. He's here in a message telling you, the time is here, you're my people, and you're the sinless, virtuous, you never did in the first place, and I'm here, and this, by the time this is over with, you're going to be there. Right? And he's saying it in such a way that we see it, we believe it, and the rest of the world thinks it's crazy. But we know it. We know that it's right. Call us crazy if they want to. You know, they say that we're following a man. But I tell you what we're following. We're following the vindicated word that was to come for this day that's being acted out in that man. Right?
Amen.
That's what we're following. We're following God who sent him with supernatural ministry to catch us, and we're hearing the voice behind those signs, and the voice that we hear is the voice of God who has come down to take us and to make sure we get there to that promised land. Amen. And so the prophet said, this is, you know, I think I read the quote the other day in Visible Union. I have it here. He said the Pilgrim Fathers were thankful for their new unfound way of life being separated from the old English denominations and creeds. They could marry to the new anointed word of their age. That's right, the new anointed words for their age and for their day. And so can we be thankful as pilgrims like Abraham separated ourselves from things of the world and all of our associations? Abraham was a pilgrim, and God separated us from all the dead religions. And brethren, as I'm speaking across the nation, he's saying in that hour, all the dead, they're all dead. There's no option out. They're all dead.
Yeah.
Right? But God has given us a new message. You're not going to find this new message in Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. He names them. They're all dead.
Right.
But we got a new message.
Amen.
That came vindicated. And it's a scriptural voice.
Right.
With a supernatural ministry that nobody else can do. A scriptural voice.
Yeah.
So it says they're all dead. He said, I'm speaking across the nation. He's on the phone. He's saying, see, they're all dead, and I'm speaking across the nation. They're all hearing this. Amen. They're all hearing what I'm saying. They're all dead, but we got a new message. Right? I'm speaking across the nation now. All the dead creeds. Into what? He separated us into the us and opened to us a new land, a new message for this day. Pentecost is dried up, like Luther and Wesley and the rest of them.
Yeah.
He's making it very clear.
Right.
Amen? Like the rest of them. It's no more than a bunch of churches pulled together. They're all pulling together in the ecumenical movement and all that. It's all it is, just a bunch. But they're all dead.
Yeah.
But we have a new land.
Amen.
To go to.
Yeah.
A new message.
Right.
To go to.
Right.
Amen. A new message. Brother Bam says there's good people in those other churches still got to come out. And what did he do? He opened to us the seven seals of the last message.
Right.
Thank God he did.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, this new land, new message, is telling us things that we had not heard before. Is telling us things that none of the rest of them could tell us.
Right?
They can't do it. It's not there. They weren't commissioned to do it, or they would be.
Right?
But God has commissioned one who had the supernatural ministry, and the voice behind it is the Word. And so none of them can do it either. So I ask you, when Brother Bram said, in that day, when this revelation comes forth, in that day when we have an open book that's declaring things to us that we could not have known prior to this, and nobody else could have known prior to this, and now it's being revealed, where is your wise and prudent then? Think about it. When that comes, where is your wise and prudent? Where are the people that say, I've studied, I know, I'm in... Man, I went to college, I got a whatever it is, you know, PhD, LLD, double D, whatever it is. I've got all that. Yeah, but you're studying stuff that was prior to when this is made known. Right? So wisdom and prudence in ourselves, it won't work. You can't work hard enough to come to this revelation. God has to give it.
Right?
Right? Can't do it. So the wise and prudent, those who chase after their wisdom and their prudence and all that, they're out. Because that's what they're doing. Has to be revealed to babes. Amen?
Amen.
So,
right.
This new message, what did it say to us? Well, it came down and said, you know what? You're his people. God hasn't forgot you. I know it's been a long time, but he's here to make his word come to pass. He's here to make sure that you get a body change. Amen? How's he doing it? By his word.
That's it.
By his word.
Amen.
So, saints, I want to ask you. We try and finish here in the next 10 or 15 minutes. What if we didn't know that God was one God? What would we be doing in our religious worship? What would we be doing if we didn't know how that God is in Christ and there? It's all. It's, you understand? If we didn't understand that revelation that had been given, what would we be doing? The prophet said that he come up with that Trinity doctrine to make an idolater out of people who believe that. Right. Where would we be in our ability to overcome and understand the economy of God if these things had not been made known to us? What if we didn't know the serpent had a seed? If we didn't know that Mary being, have Jesus being born by a virgin birth was an antidote to what took place in the garden? And what if we didn't? Because see, knowing those things, it straightens out a bunch of other confusion.
Right. Right.
So all of these things that God gives us straightens out confusions that held us back.
Mm-hmm.
See,
right.
That was denominational. That was our Egypt. These things that held us back, and we could never rise higher in God because we believed in three gods, or we didn't know if it was, we didn't, well, okay, maybe one God, but I'm not sure I understand. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen people, been there. But then to know these things, then it gets us in a position where we can gain ground.
Right.
What if we didn't know that Satan's not a creator? So we had that discussion the other day with some of the brothers, that these people out here think that Satan's a creator, or Satan can do, you know, create, and how that, well, that angels come down. When it said sons of gods, other daughters of men, that was angels that come down and took on them the flesh. Well, then they'd have to be able to do that. They'd have to be able to create a flesh to live in. So we know that's wrong, but a huge portion of Christians don't believe that. But that's wrong. See, we are the sons of God and daughters of God. And when you're talking about a son of God or a daughter of God, it doesn't say angels are, but if you sons and daughters of someone, it's because they are offspring of that one. They have genetic ties to that one they're from. See? And so angels are created. You can say, well, we were created, yes. But when God created us as his believers, he created us with his gene in us. Whereas angels won't be like that. Now, they might be
right.
Supernatural beings, but he's not calling in his offspring. You follow
right.
me?
Right.
Right? So it's important to know these things. Right? All of these truths, we could go on for hours about all these things that have been established that actually was laying there in the Bible, brought us a new book when showed us that these things were there, making a difference in our lives. What if we still believe that tongues was evidence? What if we believe that supernatural signs was a sign that it was God emphatically? Right? See, God needed to bring these truths to us to establish us so that we don't fall.
Right?
So that we don't fall for Satan's lies anymore.
Right?
Right? We say this, we've said it for years in the message. Yeah, that's what it. But at some point, we have to start possessing the victories that all these truths that we're supposed to now have in us can give us.
Right.
Right?
Right.
To stand like Abraham and call it, even though there's no evidence whatsoever, it's thus anyway because the Word said it is. Right?
Right.
Amen. See, without knowing these things, we're still vulnerable to Satan's lie, but God sent these truths. There's been condemnation hurled our way because mystery. What mysteries? What's that supposed to mean? What, you know, what does that do? I'm telling you what it does.
Right.
God sent these things for a reason. He sent a supernatural ministry, and for some reason that ministry wanted to share those truths with you.
Amen.
Because those truths set you free.
Right.
Amen. So I don't care, I didn't hurl whatever at us. We believe the Word.
Right.
Amen. And any portion of the Word we're not attaining to yet, we're going to because he's got his hand on us and he's taking us there.
Right.
Amen. So that we don't, God sent those things to correct the error so that we no longer stumble.
Right.
You remember in stature of a perfect man, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Add all those things. Remember the scriptures there said, and if these things be in you and abound,
that's right.
They will make you to where you're not fruitless. Right?
Right.
And you shall never fall.
Man.
Right? Now we know, because remember, Christ in this church set forth ministry, a fivefold ministry, seven ages. Seven virtues, or we call it virtues, but add to those things, And when all those seven ages is divvied out here, and it's all built up right there at the end, if all that God has done and delivered to, if those things be in you and abound, you can't ignore them.
Right.
Then they're going to make you where you're going to have fruit in your life. Your Christian walk will have fruit in your life. Because we've come to the place where this, God has ministered this out to us so that we can have it. If they are in you and they abound, it'll make you where you're not fruitless, and you shall never fall. I like that kind of language.
Amen.
And God is the only one that can speak that kind of thing to you. There's no such thing as a surefire investment in stock market or banks or whatever. Amen. So, you shall never fall. See, the promised land is a place where you're never defeated. As long as you don't have Achan. As long as you don't have something in there that's not supposed to be there. And God has been purging, giving us time, learning what this, all these isms and nonsense and all this stuff in the message, so we're being refined down to where what's found in us, it's not any of that nonsense. And when we arrive at these things, we're moving into a realm where we're never going to fall anymore. Can you believe that? Can you believe that that God came down to take you by the hand and make sure you get there?
Amen.
But how's he doing it? You're doing it the same way he did with Moses, by his word.
Right.
Right? By his word. Okay, to a place of where we are never defeated. See, everything that God has done has all culminated. It is all piled up now for our day.
Amen. Right.
To be fully possessed in this day. Amen. And it's not just that he says in his word that this is the hour, but he has placed within his people a deep calling to the deep.
Right.
Amen. We've never been this homesick before. You know, I was listening to those songs a while ago, and I think every one of them, except for one, had phrases in it that are on my notes today. And I'm not just saying that. See? We've got a deep calling. You look right here. A deep calling. We're longing for this that I'm talking about. Right? Why? Because it's the hour for it. Brother Forrest knows it's the hour for it. These other brothers know it's the hour for it. You go out and look across the internet, you'll probably see there's probably other people, same thing. It's the hour for it.
Amen.
And you look out and you see the condition of the world and you're like, we better hurry up. Mm-hmm. Right? We better hurry up because it's getting pretty bad around here.
Yep.
Beam us up, Scotty, right? Remember that? Get it. We'd say that. There's no intelligent life force down here. It's about got to that place, right? Mm-hmm. Beam us up, Lord. See, will in his own time. So we have a deep call into the deep, and you know what? That deep is now starting to respond.
Right.
It's starting to respond. You know, the prophet spoke. He said, we're not in that cycle yet. But see, we're going to move into that cycle. And here we are all these years later, and we're moving into that cycle. Right? We're moving into that cycle. Amen. The little young man's amen to what I'm saying.
Right.
Nice that he feels comfortable in this environment. Amen.
Right.
Amen. And so we've never been so homesick before. A home for us is possessing all things. You see that? Every age was a type of it. That they could, you know, get in and believe God's word and have a victory for their day that they couldn't have any other way. But here we are, we're at the end of ages. And this ends up in a total, complete change of our bodies and everything. You understand? See? That has all the culmination. Every way you can look at it from God's word, parables, types, all these things, the seventh seal, it's all through the scriptures there telling. This is it. We have arrived. I can show you. I can't think of the name of the sermon right now. I think the and unveiling of God, I believe it is, where the prophet's talking about that. And he said, knowing that all these years I've held this in my heart, knowing all these years that I look at it and I see that they're all gone. All those churches, all their, it's all gone. And knowing this for these years, and now the unveiling of God. God unveiling for a ministry that's doing what I'm saying, come down to take you by the hand and take you into the promised land. See, it's Satan's job to make you, well, to make you think, well, if I'm really part of this bride, and then he'll project, well, then this ought to be, and this ought to be happening, and this ought to be happening. Right? And maybe it's things that you know scripturally, God, but you understand, regardless of what it is, as God's people, you're going to be there. God has taken you by his word, and it don't have to be. Remember how he said, Brother Van said, well, Satan would say, well, if you're, then show me a miracle. Do this to prove, right? And he said, God don't clown.
That's right.
Do you think he don't try that with you? Yeah. Well, if you're really part of this message, blah, 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 tell me. Somebody raise your hand and tell me he don't do you that way.
Yeah. No.
Right? You look at him and you say, you know what? You're that same devil the prophet spoke about that was challenging Jesus, saying, well, if you be, see, right as that's fixing to culminate, he was testing Jesus, and Jesus had to pass that test.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
And so here we are, if you be, and say, you know what? It's written.
Amen.
And I've said this to a few people this week, and I'll say it to you. The next time the devil tries to tell you this and you that and this and that, because he's opened his mouth, he's lying to you, right? If you weren't a threat, he wouldn't be coming after you. But the next time he's telling you this and that and all these things, you just look at him and you say, you know what, Satan? God did not give you eternal life.
Yeah.
But he did give it to me.
Amen.
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 Right. Right? We just read it. I give to them eternal life. And no one can take them out of my hand or my Father's hand. Right? Just remind him that, Satan, you don't have eternal life. I'd be afraid too. But God's people... He knows.
Right.
He knows God's people have it.
Amen.
He knows he can't. He just trying to deceive people, right? And he knows his time is almost up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And our time is up. So let's let Brother Tim come. God bless you. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we love you for your time that you let us be into your presence this morning with your saints. And Lord, they just pull on the word just like a sponge. Lord, I just pray that they hold it and it'd be able to last them through the week. And Lord, that you'd be able to get us to all come back here again next time appointed. And Lord, that these things, they just settle right down and become a weight down inside their spiritual soul that would hold them so they're not tossed to and fro. We believe, Lord, that that's what you've done to establish your people grounded in truth. To know the truth that will make us free. We love you, Lord. We love this group of people. We thank you for the work that you do in their lives, and Lord, that they're part of this assembly.
Yes.
We're just asking for your blessings upon them, both physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, Lord. It all belongs to you.
Yes.
But Lord, more than anything else, that you allow us daily to walk with you. Amen. We love you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Do you love him?
Amen.
Do you serve him?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
God is good to us. Let's all sing. I always feel bad putting him on the spot, but I'm just not gifted to have songs that pop up to me like scriptures do when I'm preaching.
Uh-huh.